I thought I'd start by sharing a word from God's Word from the Gospel according to Matthew. This is the story of the coming of the wise men, and it goes like this. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. They were asking, "Where is the child who's been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And he called together all the priests, the chief priests, and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men to learn from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage.' And when they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left from their own country, or they returned to their own country by another road." I'm calling the series that we're working our way through this Advent and Christmas, Christmas Presents. I like that. It's a time to look a little bit more deeply at some of the things that we do this time of year to make the birth of Christ real in our lives. And the thing that I thought we'd spend some time focusing on right now is Christmas presents. Why do we give gifts? I am guessing that if you ask just about anybody under the age of, say, about 20, that they'll say the best part of Christmas is... McKenna, what's the best part of Christmas?
That you get the gifts.
That you get gifts. Thank you for making my point here. I'm guessing 9 out of 10 kids, if they were asked that same question, would say the best part of Christmas is the presents. There's something magical about wanting something, leaving little hints, maybe some not-so-subtle hints occasionally, and then living in the wonder of believing that what we most long for might actually be possible. For the next couple of weeks, we have the opportunity to live in that wonder. Who here is going to get something for somebody else this Christmas season? Yeah? Who here has already got your Christmas shopping done? Yeah, I'm in envy of you all. We'll spend way too much time worrying. I'll spend way too much time worrying about what I'm going to get. And then when I decide on something, I'll second guess myself, or I'll find out how hard it actually is to get it. For example, last Christmas, my wife collects nutcrackers. I was going to get her a Steinbach nutcracker. And I thought I had found the nutcracker to end all nutcrackers, only to find out, do you know this? Steinbach went out of business. The company that makes them doesn't exist anymore, so there are no more Steinbach nutcrackers being made. So it was back to the drawing board. I'll spend way too much time worrying about gifts, and then I'll spend way too much time buying them and spend until about April time to get my credit card balance back to about where it belongs. If the goal in life is to be self-sufficient and wealthy and worry-free, wouldn't it be easier just not to get anybody anything? So why do we go through all that hassle? Why do we go through the tradition of getting gifts? Because it's a part of cultures all over the world, right? The traditions vary a little bit, but the gift-giving part is one piece that we all have in common. In some places, they believe that the gifts are brought by St. Nicholas. Other places, it's Santa Claus. Other places, it's Father Christmas. In Germany, they believe that it's Christkind that brings the gifts. In Spain, they believe that it's the wise men. In Italy, they believe it's an old lady named Bifina. Did I get that right? In most European countries, they leave presents in either stockings or in shoes. A lot of places in the United States, we leave gifts for kids in stockings. Who's going to open gifts on Christmas Day? Anybody? Who opens gifts on Christmas Eve? Do you know that in some parts of the world, they open gifts on December 5th? And for many parts of the world, December 6th, today is the day that they open gifts. Do you know why? Do you know what today is? It's the Feast of St. Nicholas. And so this is the day of gift giving. We tend to open them in America either on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. The latest that they are opened is there are places, especially in Spain and Mexico, where they open them on January 6th. Do you know why January 6th? That's the day of Epiphany, which remembers the coming of the wise men. So it ties in with the tradition of the wise men. Why do we do that? Why do we give gifts? Here's where I'll start. I think God started it. God gave us the gift of Jesus at Christmas. And so we can start with God. That's what God did. The wise men got that. They were looking for a child who was born king of the Jews, and they had gone to Bethlehem to pay him homage. That's why the wise men are following the stars, because it was leading them to Jesus. All right, I just said a whole lot there, and so I want to stop for a moment and unpack a little bit about that, what it means for us to have been given the gift of Jesus at Christmas. First, it means that God came to us, which means God's reaching out to us. God wants to be found and wants to be known. God is not like the mouse that's hanging out in my kitchen back home. It's trying to not be found and not be caught. God wants to be known. The other part of that is that Jesus is a gift. Why is that important? Because I often fall into the trap of believing that if I'm going to receive something, I have to earn it or I have to be worthy of it. So much of what we do in life, we have to earn and be worthy of, but not love. That's not the way it is with Jesus as the gift. It starts with God. God so loved that God gave. That's the way that God is. And God wants us to know that we are loved. God wants us to know hope. God wants us to know the gift of salvation. We can take it even further than that. God didn't just give. He gave His very best, didn't He? He didn't pick an angel that didn't have anything better to do to send Him down to earth. He didn't find a servant that He was trying to punish to send Him to earth. He picked His first and very best that He could send, His one and only Son. We see that in Jesus, He continued to give His very best to us in His life, even if it meant going so far as to die on the cross. I like that connection with the gift of Christmas and Jesus' life. I saw a story about a store in Tokyo that opened back in the 1960s, and they were going to do for the very first time a Christmas display. One of the major department stores in Tokyo. So they took what they knew about Christmas and they tried to put it into the display. They called together when they were opening the display, all the men in the store, they called together a group of the VIPs to unveil the Christmas display in this store in Tokyo. You can probably guess that one of the things they put in this display was a Santa. This was the biggest Santa anybody had ever seen. But what was different about this display is they had Santa nailed to a cross. I'm still trying to decide whether that's cool or creepy. What I like is the connection between Christmas and Jesus' life and death. I think that's part of what we've seen in the story of Mary and Joseph. In the story of Mary and Joseph, they had done nothing to deserve to have Christ in their lives. We know almost nothing about Mary and Joseph before the time of Jesus' birth. It's as if to say God is trying to send the message that where you have been doesn't matter. It's where you are right now that God wants to make miraculous. So if you feel like you're out of the way, pushed around, living in chaos, here's the good news. Jesus did not go to those who were the most deserving or those who loved Him the most. He went to those who needed Him the most. There's nothing that God can't redeem, no one God can't restore. It's out of broken lives and painful stories that the Savior is born. God whispers in every carol, in every gift, I love you. We give presents to remember the gift that Jesus gave, and we give gifts because since we are created in the image of God, that's in our DNA, to be giving people. And so if we want to know what true overwhelming joy is, we need to return to that DNA or that part of us that is created to be in the image of God. We can be mean and selfish and worried and complaining, But we can't know overwhelming joy that way. In the end, the bad guys don't win. Take Herod, for example. I kind of like the way that God uses Herod in this story. Remember that the wise men got as far as Jerusalem, and then they needed directions. And so they started asking, where is the child born of the Jews? And so Herod started pulling together his advisors and decided that it was in Bethlehem of Judea. Or in other words, God used Herod, who was not a nice guy and not a good example, to accomplish his purposes, as if to say, the bad guys don't win. God is able to use mean, selfish people to accomplish his purposes. One of my earliest memories of Christmas, I think, kind of gets to that. When I was about 5 years old, I think it's the first gift I remember us getting at Christmas time. My dad was a struggling professor, and my mom was the mother of two with another one. My youngest brother was on the way. He was about a month from being born. And that Christmas, we got garbage cans. We've still got the pictures to prove it. Garbage cans. Now, you might think that would be a complete disaster, but I remember that being one of the best Christmases ever. Because how many times do you as a kid get to play around with clean, new garbage cans? We'd make forts out of them, and we'd crawl in them, and we'd get inside, and my dad would swing us around. My point is this. If you want to know joy, true joy, it's not so much about the gift, it's about the giving. Because that's the way that we are created in the image of God. The wise men were the first to get it. And so we give partly in order to follow that example of the wise men. They gave, you remember their gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, which then was really valuable and still is really valuable, as a way of saying, here is a gift that's worthy of a king, or is acknowledging that here in Jesus is Christ, who is Lord. Frankincense was a kind of an incense that was often used in ceremonies in the temple. Giving the gift of frankincense, probably acknowledging that here is our great high priest, one who is worthy of us learning from and in whom we can trust. Myrrh was something that was used as an anointing oil, often in funerals, and so they were acknowledging, almost prophesying, that here in Jesus' sacrifice was the hope of salvation. There's a guy named Mike Slaughter who pastors a church in the North Dayton area called Ginghamsburg. Actually, he's just announced that he's retiring, so he's not going to be at Ginghamsburg very long, up in Tip City area. He wrote a book a couple of years that I absolutely love the title of. He said, it's about Christmas. He said, it's not your birthday. His idea was Jesus' birthday, and so the one we really ought to be giving gifts to at Christmas time is God. What are you going to be giving God this Christmas time as a gift? What God really wants, I know, is our hearts. And so how are we going to give God our hearts fully to God? All right, my last point. I think we give gifts partly so that other people will know that they are loved. Every now and then I hear it say it's the thought that matters. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. Part of the reason that we give is so that other people will know that they are loved. The Magi could not see what they saw in Bethlehem. They could not know what they know, having seen Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem without having been changed. And so now, instead of listening to themselves or listening to a king like Herod, instead they're thinking of somebody else and they're looking out for what is best for Jesus. Love is a way of acting that thinks of another person before it thinks of itself. I ran into a story that I'd never seen before this week that I think illustrates that really well. The story is written by a person by the name of Willa Carter, and she calls it The Burglar's Christmas. I like this story. It's about a guy who grew up in the East, but then decided when he got to be a young man, kind of a prodigal son story, that he was going to try to make it on his own. And so he moved to Chicago. The problem is he had a really hard time making it on his own. And so, kind of like the prodigal son, he squandered a lot of what he had. He found himself having suicidal thoughts and really in trouble. And on Christmas Eve, decided that things had gotten so bad that if he was going to have anything to eat on Christmas Day, he'd have to steal to get it. And he decided that he was at that point. And so he picked out the house and decided that he would steal from this house in order to get what he thought he deserved. Well, what he didn't know is that his parents, in wanting to figure out what had happened to him, had gone searching for him and had moved to Chicago. He broke into this house only to find, can you guess what happens? He had broken into his parents' home. He got what he was looking for, and then just as he was leaving, he ran into his mother and father in the living room. They paused before he was able to leave, and they said, "Stay. We'll make everything right." He looks up at his mother questioning and says, "I wonder if you know how much you pardon." And she said, "Oh, my poor boy, much or little, what does it matter? Have you wandered so far and paid such a bitter price for knowledge and yet not learned anything? Have you not learned that love has nothing to do with pardon or forgiveness, that it only loves and loves and loves?" Why is that important? Because you're going to run into somebody this week who needs to know that they're loved. They're going to feel lost or alone, and they're going to need to know that somebody cares. And maybe that's something that you can help them out with. We give gifts because God first gave us the gift of Jesus. We give gifts because that's in our DNA. We give gifts because we're following the example of the wise men, and we give gifts to let others know that they are loved.